welcome to episode 15 of What's On Joe Mine. We're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, which in the words of one of our more shallow critics, we lack personality. I am your evil community overlord, Gary. Joining me and also lacking personality is our showrunner, Greg. Hiya, Greg.
Hello.
And monotone today. Yes. From generaljoes.com and also lacking personality since 1999, it's Justin.
What's going on? I don't lack personality. What are you talking about? It's talking about you losers, not me. I have personality.
It's just what someone said. That doesn't mean that person's important or not. It just means that's what someone said. He's a syndicated columnist from InsidePulse.com. He is the star of the show, apparently, and he now has his own fan page on Facebook. Hey, everybody, it's Chuck.
Hi, everybody.
I call shenanigans on that fan page.
Well, we'll talk about that here in a second. So, you guys, it's really sad that there isn't another Good Joe podcast in the community to listen to, huh? It's a real bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's tough to be king.
It's definitely tough to be the king. We're back on again for another week and another episode. I don't think a lot of people realize how brave you need to be to put yourself out there every week on a podcast. I mean, you put your voice and opinion out there week after week, which sometimes puts a big target on you, right, guys? I mean, you've kind of felt it when some people talk to you about the show, right?
Sure. Well, I've been feeling it for 10 years with my website and stuff. Everybody seems to think that... my opinion is a big target, so I'm kind of used to it. But it's even more so for certain. You know, doing the podcast, you're kind of putting more of yourself out there. I guess a little bit more raw than just writing words on a message board or something. So yeah, I'm feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, me too. But we want to thank everybody in the audience for making last episode the most downloaded and listened to episode that we've done in our short history. We're up near. Well, we've surpassed all other episodes already from last week, and other episodes have had 10, 15 weeks to get up to that same level, and we did it in 1 week with last week's episode, so I don't know if that was because of Gary Head or...
It was all me.
It was all you? I thought it was Chuck doing his side Sunbow impersonation of...
Screw Chuck and screw Gary Head, it's all me. I don't ever want to hear Chuck do Major Blood again, so don't encourage him.
Oh,
sorry, Gary. I almost made you pass out on that one.
that I did get lightheaded. It was hilarious, though. But we want to thank you, the audience, for continuing to give us positive and constructive feedback. We really, really appreciate all you do for us. Now, sometimes when you put yourself out there, you unknowingly develop a little bit of celebrity. And we saw that over the weekend with the discovery of a Chuck fan page on Facebook. Well, what do you guys think of this? Chuck, what do you think of this?
Nice crown.
I gotta tell you, I was a little taken aback by it.
Listen to him pretend like he didn't set it up himself. Good job.
Yeah, no kidding.
I honestly didn't. And I gotta say, after I initially found out that it wasn't something set up by one of you three, I did become a little concerned, but I've since found out who created it, and... I gotta say, I mean, I think it's a nice secondary forum for the
fans of
podcast
Chuck.
For the podcast.
Oh, okay. Thank you for thinking of the podcast first, Chuck.
It's the place for people to come together, talk, and have some laughs, and any particular bits you want to see or something you want me to say or do. I mean, hey, there you go.
Well, Chuck. You must admit, though, you kind of did draw some attention to yourself by talking about belly shirts and stuff, which you said you were going to email to Justin. Well, what, Justin?
Hell no.
Well, as a result of this, we got our first voicemail. So we'll try to sync this up so everyone can listen all at once. But the email is from a Herb in Rhode Island.
Rhode Island?
Yeah,
really?
A Herb in Rhode Island. So if you guys would like to go ahead and start listening,
should we all just double-click at the same time?
Yeah, go ahead, double-click at the same time, and I will start playing.
Three, two, one, double-click.
Hey there, Chuck. What's the good news? Oh, my. You look like you just stepped out of So You Think You Can Dance with that belly shirt of yours on. Mm. I bet you just stand in the aisle of Target in that color shirt, breathing all heavy, holding that big skyscraper of yours. You know, I got a whole basement full of skyscrapers. So we can belly dance and sing to fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
Wow.
That, everybody, was Herb from Rhode Island.
Well done, Herb.
Bravo.
Even the voicemail.
You okay, Chuck?
Oh my God.
Okay. So we'll let you recover. I'll go ahead and do our Mondo contact information, and we'll turn it over to you because I guess Charles has some sort of important announcement or something. But get contact information so you can make calls just like the one you just heard. You can email us, of course, at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call us at 262-515-WOJM. Again, that number is 262-515-9656. Chuck says people don't call this number is because it's a long distance and they have to pay. Quit being cheap bastards. Freaking call the number. It's only a couple cents.
I'll never call that number again.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. You can, let's see, this is a new abbreviated portion, so I got to make sure I got my my thoughts here. You can find our blog at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com and whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile for all mobile devices supporting any phone that has an internet browser and can support an MP3 playback. We always approve comments at the Podbean site. Also, at the Podbean site, you can find the rest of our social networking profile links at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/social-networking. And our active community forum threads at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/forums, including links to Joe Declassified, Terradrome, Joe Customs, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Indeed it is. You can also hear our shows while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. It's on-demand news, talk, and more right on your mobile phone or to your car stereo on select GM and Ford models. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing or storage is needed. It's available for your Apple, Android, WebOS, and BlackBerry devices. I actually found out we do have a WebOS listener. He is the one, apparently. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check your mobile app store for the free download. Stitcher, Smart Radio, and What's on Joe Mind. We are the smarter way to listen to radio. And don't forget, always point your Apple iOS devices to the iTunes Store where you can subscribe to the program and automatically receive our latest podcasts. So now we send it over to, is it Charles or Chuck?
It's Chuck.
Chuck, okay. We'll send it over to Chuck where he will be telling us something, and I'm sure it's not an apology for what you just heard.
Okay. Last week, towards the end of the show, we were discussing the length of the podcast, and during that discussion, I made a comment to the effect of that photo type reviews would be done away with in favor of video based reviews.
Coming to your senses, all right, Chuck.
When I listened back to the podcast, I kind of realized that it seemed a little condescending. I mean, there are many great photo reviewers. For example, Alex from Alex Shorts at Joe Battlelines, and as well as Justin. You know, what they do cannot be translated to video. You know,
frankly, I just thought you're taking a swipe at Justin.
I honestly, no, I wasn't.
Because Justin told me he was going to get you this week.
I didn't realize that there's a lot of factors when it comes to doing video reviews. Some people just may not be comfortable talking on camera. Really what I meant is that obviously there will always be a place for photo reviews. And, you know, as the commenter said on our Podbean website, you know, video reviews work better for, say, Transformers because you can actually see the joints move into place the way they're supposed to. But for G.I. Joe's, it really might still be a photo-based review. And I know how much work it is because I used to do photo reviews. I know what a pain in the is to take the photo, have to resize it, upload it, post, you know, paste it into, you know, your review. And I really didn't – I want to apologize if anybody took offense – You know, I would. I mean, if I'm going to offend you, I'm going to offend you directly
with a belly shirt.
Not, you know, around the
waist.
That's
pretty damn offensive.
So, yeah, that is pretty offensive.
You know, if I wanted to offend Justin, you know, I would, you know, say something directly, not just back way. You know, and, you know,
if you want, if you really want to get his goat, just say Sigma Six socks.
Hey.
Actually, no, because I like Sigma Six.
There you go.
Apology accepted, Chuck. Greg, is apology accepted?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean apology?
You're going to let slide, Greg? Apology. So I guess now it's over to Greg for the mailbag.
Yes. So we have
time for mail call!
Rob, yeah, that's a question. He says, "Hey guys, your podcast has really come a long way since it started and is one of my weekly listens. As a longtime collector and online lurker, I wonder if any of the older gentlemen on the show remember Mike's Forgotten Figures with his interesting write-ups and dio pics. Along with General Joe's is what pushed me into becoming a Joe completist. Also, listening to your show has encouraged me to get out of the shadows of the interwebs, and I have been working on a daily Joe figure blog. Here's hoping that writing about a random Joe figure every day doesn't slowly drive me insane. Anyway, love the show and keep up the good work. Rob's website is joeaday.wordpress.com, and we'll put that into the show notes as well. But
I like that concept that you got.
Yeah, that's
different,
awesome.
Different one a day.
I hope you keep it up.
Well, Lord knows there's enough versions of Snake Eyes to go a couple months, so.
I think you did a week somewhere in there where you did only Snake Eyes.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't think it's going to slowly drive him insane. I think it's going to quickly drive him insane.
Well, bravo. No, but do I remember Mike's Forgotten? Well, back in the 28.8 baud dial-up days, yeah. Mike's been around a while for the Forgotten Figures, and I remember going to the site, and definitely it was always right there as one of the sites you always wanted to hit, because it told you a little bit more than what Yojo told you. So if you wanted to find out more about, you know, some of the obscure things about a figure or a character that was kind of on the fringe, you go there and he'll tell you all about it. I'm sure Justin has some things about talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's him and I were pretty close back in the late 90s, where we were really two of the only people talking a whole lot about particular action figures. I mean, back then you had the Toys R Us releases, and you hadn't even really gotten to the Real American Hero Collection stuff. So it was kind of that limbo time where there wasn't really a whole lot of new product to talk about. So, and actually, my review page kind of started out as a ripoff of his Forgotten Figures, with his blessing, of course, where I kind of touched on figures in the same way he did, looking at the vintage stuff. You know, I think my first figure I did was Headhunter Stormtrooper or something like that, and the Heat Viper I covered as well, and that's what kind of spawned the review page that's been going ever since. And he was a really good friend of mine. I'm, you know, back in those days, you know, my wife was going down to law school in Western Mass, and I was working in the post office, working the late shift. You know, went into work about 5 o'clock in the evening and didn't get home until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And first thing I did when I got home was fire up, like Gary said, that old 28.8 modem and log on to my AOL and see if Mike wrote me back, because we used to talk back and forth.
Cutting edge back in the day, man. Cutting
edge. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but we'd send emails back and forth, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a day, just talking about some of those forgotten 90s figures. He had a love for that 90s stuff that I did. So, you know, it's actually talking about it kind of brings back some really good memories. It was a lot simpler back then, and I kind of miss being able to interact with him. He's been out of Joe for a while, and unfortunately his Forgotten Figures website has kind of faded away into the internet ether. He was a good friend of mine, and it was really kind of cool to talk to him about Joe while Joe was still, I can't say it was in its infancy, because the Real American Hero had gone on for 12 years. And
probably more of an online community infancy.
Yeah, the online element of G.I. Joe was in its infancy. You know, eBay was just being discovered, and really the Pit mailing list was the only public place to have a conversation about it. So he was one of my first good friends, and I definitely miss his site, and I miss talking to him about that stuff. He's been out of Joe for a while, so but no, I definitely remember him, and good memories only. He was a great guy. I did some good stuff online.
All right, yeah, and I'd mentioned before that along with Yojo and General's Joe's, Mike's Forgotten Figures is also one of those places where I would read about or see a different figure, and I'm like, what is this weird-looking headhunter, or who is a certain character? And basically that's how you learned about the figures back then. So,
anybody who likes my review style can point right to him and thank him, because it was pretty much built off of what he did and the stuff that he worked on. So,
well, I do want to thank Rob for writing in, and I will say this, I mean, pretty much with every new Joe site that comes out, it's not a very original site anymore, because pretty much all the ideas have been done. the fact that he can come out with an original idea for a Joe site on a Joe a Day type thing, bravo, good concept, and welcome to the online community, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah, I visit his site daily, and it's always a great read, so people should check it out. It's something new every day.
That's because it's Joe a Day.
Very good, Chuck.
Chuck.
Thanks for staying with us. Glad you caught on to that.
All right, thanks again, Rob, for writing in.
You all right? Are you still recovering from the voicemail message, or what?
I'm better. You know what's going up on the fan page.
All right, let's get into some news then. News this week is a little bit on the light side. I'm not sure if that's the post-San Diego lull or just...
Well, hell, there was a San Diego lull, not a post-San Diego lull.
That's true. So the first bit of news, Gary, if you want to talk on this a little bit, is the Collectors Club newsletter arrived for some people.
Yes, you should be getting your Collectors Club newsletter early or soon. Excuse me. This edition features the Zarana, San Diego Comic Con Zaranas on the cover, which got an uproar on another online.
Rage,
yes, nerd rage over on another forum. How dare the Collectors Club show us these figures that I am unable to get? That aside,
unless you go on eBay and
well, yeah, I'm sure you can.
That's,
yeah, there
that's
you go.
A challenge, but
we're being pithy again, Justin.
I digress.
We're lacking personality. Basically, there were some small bits of news other than the regular columns by Justin on Renegades, but. David Lane from the editor's desk. I'm very excited to provide the next update on our club exclusive subscription figures. We have started to receive production samples from the factory. Keep watching for figure previews as the deco and accessories are approved. Our next phase is working on the packaging and setting up the billing system for this awesome 12 figure subscription. You will need to sign up and complete the full purchase to qualify and receive a 13th carded figure free. Also, we will have a full after-action report from the 2011 San Diego Comic-Con next issue. I'm sure that will be a light report. So that's what David Lane had to say there. Anything new out of that we want to pick up and talk about real quick before moving on to Brian's little bit?
I don't think so. They'll probably just copy the JoeCon coverage and paste it into the next issue and call it the San Diego Comic-Con coverage.
I really don't understand what are they working on for packaging. I mean, I guess it must be the artwork they're going to put on the package, because as far as I know, it's going to be coming out on like a modern era style card.
Yeah, it's probably what they're doing. Probably artwork and probably stuff like that. Whether I don't know if they're going to actually. You know, that's something that just occurred to me. Since it's a 13-figure set, you think they'll do one of those 12-back little card-back styles that the old-school figures had where it showed, like, all the rest of the figures in the wave had that old design on the back.
That'd and then the silhouettes of the ones that aren't out yet.
Yeah, and a little
not a bad idea. That'd be cool.
Or whatever.
That'd now be we're cool. Ruining it for people because they probably thought of that and said, hey, they'll like that, and then those damn guys on the podcast ruin it for everybody.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, my apologies. Our apologies, actually, rather. Brian's Intel. Talks about the Cobra Commander, the Rise of Cobra mail-in Cobra Commander. It says the Cobra Commander mail-in Rise of Cobra figures will be here any day, and if you did not order one, we will have a few extras, so check the club store. So if you're listening to this right now, check the club store and see if there's one available. I think it's $18 for members, $36 for an officer level, and a non-member is what, $60-something?
Too much.
Yeah, but the bottom line is, I mean, if you're not a member, even at $30, I think that pays for a membership, but even at $30, it's still a hell of a steal, considering most people that have one now paid a hell of a lot more than $30 for it.
Exactly. I mean, I bought mine for, I think, like $65, and I got angry emails saying how cheap that was. So.
Yeah, that was cheap for you. That was a lot cheaper than what I got mine for. Brian basically is cutting and pasting everything. He's talking about the subscription system for the last 3 months, so nothing new there. This year's club figure will be posted soon on the club site. We will send
That's
out an
awesome.
Yeah, exactly. We will send out an announcement email, so watch your inbox. So
really
I don't know what.
To that.
Yeah, it's always we always look forward to that time when they release the freebie figure for the membership. So I don't know if he means. You know, we'll be in August or sometime soon, because the definition of soon by the club sometimes is used rather loosely, so I don't know when that would be. But hopefully, as I define soon, it will be that.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be great. I mean, the club freebie figure was kind of a toss-in for a while there, but the past couple of years with the DTC Cobra Commander and Dial Tone, they've really kind of cranked it up. So
and
Big Lob, too, for that matter. So
Big Lob doesn't count. This says also property searches are still in progress for next year's G.I. Joe Con, and we will get you details as soon as it's locked down. It will not be Indianapolis.
All right.
I added that last part, actually. But
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, there
you go. You'll see your freebie figure when I get my freebie figure.
All right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I feel threatened.
The Transformers Club has actually their free subscription figure.
Oh.
Heavily delayed.
Hey,
so,
hey.
But he
can we take a vote here? Who here cares about the Transformer free figure? Wow, no one cares.
Not even Chuck voted on that one. Chuck,
didn't he? I didn't know if I could vote. I thought he was asking you guys.
So going back to the free figure, they're just going to – I mean, they announce it months ahead of time, and then it arrives usually in May. When did Dial Tone arrive? That was May or April?
April, May, I think.
Yeah, it was just a couple months ago, as a matter of fact.
So they'll just show it, and then, you know, it comes out at the same time every year. It's not coming out this fall.
Right, it's not coming out until next year, but
yeah.
I think the deadline is usually
at least you guys get yours at the same time. There, you know, there are some of us who it's like, oh, well, you know, it got held up here, got held up there. There's problems with this.
Chuck, you can always change your allegiance and join the better of the two clubs.
There you go. That's
or how about they cut me a deal so I can join both clubs and get the Joe subscription?
That's not
a
bad idea.
Listening, fun pub.
That's not a bad idea, but in this day and age where you need to make choices sometimes, you have to choose wisely.
Yeah, well, I already saw what the free fit with the subscription figure for next year is. I'm sticking where I am.
Sour grapes. Okay, that's it from the Collectors Club. Another 3 or 4 more weeks, we'll have the next newsletter, and we'll keep you up to date on any changes. Back to you, Greg.
Okay, moving on to some movie news. The role of Mouse, which had been rumored for a little bit, has been cast. The actor who will be playing the part of Mouse is Joe Mazzello. Most recently that I remember was in The Pacific, the HBO maxi series about the Pacific area.
If you don't remember him from The Pacific, he was the kind of the Steve Rogers type guy, if we're going to borrow from Captain America, that wanted to join the military with his friends and his buddies, and then eventually, like 2 or 3 episodes into the series, he gets in and ends up going through the entire war, surviving, and then has post-traumatic stress syndrome at the end where he can't hunt any longer. So it showed a good range of the actor as an innocent type looking, as a hardened warrior, and then someone obviously that was going through some issues post-war emotionally. I think it's a good choice, and I really, really liked him in The Pacific, and I think he'll do an okay job in this particular role.
Cool. Yeah, I'm, you know, part of the reason I'm excited about this casting, I mean, I don't really know, obviously I saw Jurassic Park, he played the young boy in Jurassic Park, and I know him from that, but I don't know him from much else, but the biggest thing to me is that he actually seems like he's a pretty well-accomplished actor. And, you know, considering initial stories were that, you know, they were looking for a heartthrob to appeal to the young females of the audience. I was not all that excited about that, but this guy doesn't strike me as that kind of actor. So that leaves me a little bit optimistic that maybe, those rumors were false and we'll be getting something a little more credible. I still have no idea whatsoever why they're choosing Mouse of all characters. I would think they could have found somebody with a little bit more visibility, a little bit more credibility in the G.I. Joe mythology to go with Beyond Mouse. But, whatever. You know, we'll see how it turns out. And if they did go with a known character and they changed him to fit Joe Mazzello's role, then people would have been complaining about that. So, we'll see how it turns out and see what kind of character he is and how it goes.
All right, Chuck, you have anything to add?
No, I mean, I have no idea who the character is, and I've never heard of the actor, so, you know.
Show prep, Chuck.
Chuck, ladies and gentlemen, that's your Facebook fan page guy.
Well, no, I mean...
Thanks for the insight.
Well,
I don't know him. Yeah, See you next week.
Even if I went to IMDb, I still wouldn't know who this guy is. You know, but then again, I think that's kind of good that
you can at least research Mouse.
You know, if here's my thing: if he wasn't like a toy or someone from the cartoon, I really don't think they should be bringing the character into the movie. You know, that's just my take of it. Try to get as broad of appeal as possible.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I mean, I was more interested in the story that the rumor that Tomax and Zaymot were going to be recast as 6-year-old girls.
Justin was all over that one, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking about that. We are not talking about that.
I actually thought that would have been a good idea, and that would have been like the broad appeal, like a broad change that could have brought, you know, some appeal to the movie.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a ridiculous rumor somewhere on the internet next week, and I want to see if you guys can figure out what it is about the G.I. Joe movie.
Excellent. I can't wait.
I'm going to spread it around, and we'll see if we can get it to get any traction. So if it gets posted on General Joe's, I know it's won.
It wouldn't be the first time someone's done a viral campaign in the Joe community.
That'll be interesting, Greg, that Justin will post something that you created. Meanwhile, I'm still waiting for him to post my my Tornado Snake Eyes review. Oop, sorry, never mind. Moving along.
The super articulated Tornado Snake Eyes?
I couldn't see the Tornado Snake Eyes. I'll have a damn belly in the picture.
So, also in movie news, we have a date now in terms of a release date. Justin, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's been rumored for a while that it was possible that the Star Trek sequel might move back a little bit because J.J. Abrams wasn't quite ready to dive into it after tackling Super 8. And was it Super 8? And I don't remember if he's doing something else after that. He's got his hands full. But anyway, yeah, it was confirmed that Star Trek 2 is moving back, and G.I. Joe 2 is moving up into its place in, I think it's like June 28th in 2012. So that leaves, there's kind of good and bad to that. The good news is that it's under 11 months until release date. The bad news is it opens exactly 1 week before Amazing Spider-Man, so it could get kind of a little bit of a hit in the ratings that second week out, but
That's what the first movie did. I mean, it came out number one, and then that District 9, I think it was, came out the week after, right. And then it was wiped off the map at that point forward. But
right, but I think Amazing Spider-Man is going to appeal to even probably a broader audience than District 9 did. And
I mean, if it repeats 3/4 of what the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, the first one there, it's going to be huge. So, I mean, Joe will be number one for a week. We can pretty much bank on that, and then after that, we'll be second or third.
Yeah, it's good news, and I mean, that's good news to me because that means that we've got, like I said, less than 11 months until the movie, which is always cool. Number two, having it earlier in the summer is also really good. It does show at least a little bit of faith in Paramount that they can maybe get, you know, some summer blockbuster dollars out of this. I know a lot of people were kind of afraid that August time frame for the original movie really kind of killed it, just because it was in the dredges of late summer, where not many summer blockbusters are born. But so I think, you know, earlier in the summer is good. You know, a little bit more faith, a little bit more coverage. And
it also puts it back in that window where the old dates of the JoeCon used to be.
True.
It was always late June, early July.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe they'll schedule that to coincide. That would be nice.
Yeah, and it falls kind of in that, you know, in that window for July 4th, where I guess a lot of people hit the movie theaters July 4th weekend, so...
And what about the current name being used? The current working title is Retaliation, and that's still not official, correct?
Yeah, nobody has confirmed that, but there's been various different online sources that have claimed that's the new working title, so it certainly sounds like it is. I like it. I think it's cool. You know, I like it better than Cobra Strikes or whatever. I think it's...
I do like it better than that. I don't like Cobra Strikes. I'm not a big fan of Retaliation in terms of the usage of the... It's a really long word for, you know, a lot of people to type in on the forum, so obviously it's going to get butchered to death. But a while ago, you had a logo on your website about the working movie logo. Is that like a holder, or is that the real deal? What do you think?
I found that online. I'm surprised more people haven't picked up on that. But yeah, I found a logo that appears, it was being used by a casting site, and it appears to be a legitimate official logo for G.I. Joe 2. It's got kind of that familiar G.I. Joe brushed metal logo with two kind of slash marks.
Kind of reminiscent of Jurassic Park, going back to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the slash marks, the claws.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks pretty legitimate to me, and I posted that on General Joe's probably about 2 weeks ago, and nobody really seems to have caught on to it, but I still see Histank using that weird G.I. Joe 2 2012 logo that they kind of cobbled together, but it may not be official. I don't know. I just I pulled it from a reputable casting site, so I figured it was probably the real deal. But we'll see.
Okay, so another casting another member of the cast, is down now, and I don't know if we're how much more we still have to go. We still haven't heard a lot of the villains yet. There's still the rumor of Joe Colton floating around out there. So we still got a little bit more to go. 331 days until release, folks. 331 days.
Nice.
Greg?
Moving on to some more news. This one was a little bit different. I kind of like this. A lot of places like Slayer, they make custom parts for figures, but a new company kind of came out of nowhere, and Justin posted the news on his site, and that's pretty much the only place I've seen it. But it's Yeti Brew Design, who they've started working on basically kits to augment your classic Real American Hero view. Taking a look at what they have so far, it looks like it's basically a kit to make the Dragonfly look more like the classic Huey Cobra design.
Yep.
So it has a longer
Super Cobra, yeah.
Chin. Yep. And it's got rocket pods as well. And the guy that is pretty much doing all the work, Ian, he went in the comments and basically said, coming up after the Dragonfly stuff, he's planning on doing a Sting Raider / Water Moccasin upgrade, which will have a new turret with missiles, and then next after that would be the Hiss, which the Hiss looks very interesting based on what he's put up. It'll have an enclosed turret with upgraded weapons, so instead of just the open one with the two small cannons, it'll be something a little more robust, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And then an armored canopy with a hatch, which would be interesting to see that too. And then bustle rack for packs to plug into. So it sounds like something that'll snap onto the side, and then you could attach backpacks to it. So really interested to see where he goes with this. I don't know if you guys got to take a look at the more stuff on his site, but it definitely has some potential for filling a hole that no one else really is doing online that I've seen for G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I think it fills a big hole. I've got the Dragonfly upgrade kit in my hands right now, and it's really amazing. I mean, this is, from what I can tell, it uses a three-dimensional printer. That's all the kind of the rage that we've heard for a few years now, is that these magic three-dimensional printers will, you know, just put a design in and they'll spit out some real items. And these are high quality parts. I mean, the plastic is firm and rigid. There is none of that flashing that you normally get with cast stuff. They have to kind of trim with an X-Acto knife. It comes really clean, really durable, very thick plastic. I haven't had a chance to dig out my Dragonfly and actually put the pieces on it yet. I'm really looking forward to doing that and taking some pictures of that. But the stuff is really cool. It's really cool. And I think the like Greg said, the potential is the coolest part. The stuff that may, you know, possibly be coming down the line. Upgrade kits for the Hiss, I think people would be dying for. Like you said, the Water Moccasin, Sting Raider, upgrade kits. There's just so many little tweaks that people would love to do to their Joe vehicles that this type of technology will allow them to do. And Ian seems really eager to kind of jump on board and take some requests and figure out what people want to see. I actually also suggested some possible upgrade kits to the Sky Striker. He's kind of looking at that now. He doesn't know about the feasibility of doing a two-seat cockpit. That was something that we kind of talked about. I don't want to put any words in his mouth, wouldn't make any promises on his end, because he just said, I'll buy one and I'll take a look.
You know, something if he could pull it off would be an actual real tail hook.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. But he's open to suggestions and loves to hear from the community. He's really excited to kind of get this product out there. So anybody who wants to check out the site, I've got a banner on generalsjoes.com over on the right-hand side with all my sponsorship links for Yeti Brew Design. And you can also go to www.shapeways.com/shops/Yeti Brew, and that will also bring you to Yeti Brew Design. And he's got, like Greg said, the Dragonfly upgrade kit. You can buy just the chin gun, you can buy just the wings, the side wings, and he's also got some like mech tabletop gaming things listed on there and some other stuff too. So seems like a really cool technology with some great potential.
I'm just fascinated that it's taken this long for third party add-on products to start showing up for G.I. Joe. If any Transformer fans listening, you know, we've had those for years.
Sure.
I'm curious, you know, will this guy take the step in the future and maybe try creating vehicles, you know, new, you know, maybe updated versions of the vehicles that Hasbro won't do and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to depend on the response. It's a lot of it is all based on response, on what the fans want and what the financial response is. Obviously, you have to make sure it's going to be financially viable. And I think Transformers is such a larger fan base, larger collector base that some of those homegrown products can be.
I've always wondered why they, because I know there was someone in the past that did Joe stuff, and they got a C&D from Hasbro on it. Mm-hmm. And we really haven't had anyone doing anything Joe-wise since then, because I think the community kind of, ooh, well, Hasbro's not down with that thing, and, that guy got a C&D before, so we don't want to get in any trouble. But the issue
with the C&D before was that he was doing exact reproductions.
Yeah, it was an exact repro, and I know that the Transformers guy, some of them get away with exact repros, and I don't know how their community necessarily gets away with it, and in some cases ours can't. But, that's probably the reason why you haven't seen more people do this before, Chuck, is that there has been some people in the past, or a couple people in the past in the Joe community that did do some repros and add-ons and that type of thing, and they got a C&D, but I believe they did an exact copy of the Destro sled. But, hey, a smaller community, word travels much more fast, and some people are just like, hey, if I'm going to get a C&D, I'm not going to put all the money into it to ramp this thing up and not be able to do anything with it.
I assume you meant Zartan sled, not Destro sled.
No, Zartan sled. Sorry. Yes, correct.
All right. Well, if we get any more updates, we'll try to keep the community abreast of what's going on with them. Again, I don't have the Dragonfly personally, so I can't. I'm not going to purchase that part of it. But when he comes out with the his stuff, I'm going to be all over it because I want to see what's out there, the quality of the plastic, how well it works with the his, and see him get upgraded a little bit. So, very cool. And that's pretty much it for news for the week. What we're going to do is, we haven't done it for a few weeks now, but what have we got in recently instead of what have we got in this week? I'll start off because I've actually been buying stuff lately, which is a nice change of pace. I picked up the Sky Striker yesterday, which I was happy to finally find. I try not to go driving around from store to store anymore looking for stuff just because, the distribution at the stores has been kind of suspect lately, but I found myself hunting around for the Sky Striker until I finally found it. I started putting the stickers on that last night, and it is awesome. I have no complaints so far. It looks fantastic. And then I picked up a couple... I picked up one of the Halo Reach figures, Carter, which I don't know if you guys played the game at all, but apparently he's one of the leader of the Noble team. And nice. I gotta say, it's the first McFarlane figure I've ever picked up, but they're pretty cool. I usually only pick up random figures when there's not much at retail for Joe. And I
know quite a few Joe collectors that pick up on the Halo stuff.
Yeah, those Halo figures are awesome.
Yeah, he's gonna be the first of at least two or three more, because it's fantastic. Just the swappable armor and the chest pieces and the weapons and stuff. It's very cool.
I love how they've got that the big Warthog, and then they've got the Warthog upgrade kits where you can buy a different gun turret with the Spartan with it. It's great. Yeah, some really cool stuff.
And then I've also picked up a couple of the Captain America figures, including from a couple weeks ago off air, we were talking with Craig from the Fooshcast, and Chuck, they were talking about the Captain America figures and convinced me to buy the World War II comic version of Cap, which is a really cool figure. He comes with the triangular shield, and I think I might have to pick up another and see if I can get that web gear cut off and put onto one of the Joes, because it's some fantastic web gear.
Nice.
But that's what I've been getting in for the last couple weeks. Justin, what about you?
I also got my Sky Striker. As I talked about a little bit last week, I went on vacation to Western Mass and bugged some Target employees until I finally found one that would pull it out of the back for me. So I've had that for a little while. I just put a review on General Joe's a couple days ago. So I've got that, and I'm pretty happy with that. I've gotten a little bit of feedback that I think I graded it a little bit too low on my review, but I dig the plane. It's cool. I also got the Hiss Scout from one of my buddies and a podcast listener, Paul Timmermans, I think his name is. I apologize in advance if I totally butchered that name.
P-Dat.
But yeah, he hooked me up big. It was awesome. It was basically right after they started appearing, he sent me an email, said I got one, and was very, very cool about it. So I've got a Hiss Scout. I'm in the middle of taking pictures of that for the review, and I got to admit, I hate to say it, but it's really cool. I like it a lot. It's basically a pair of tank treads with a cockpit in it, not much more, and it really doesn't hook up to the Hiss nearly as well as you would hope it would. I mean, there's little tabs on the back to kind of plug them together, but they don't really form anything that makes any sense whatsoever. They either tip over or don't don't really work functionally, but the vehicle itself is really neat. It's a really cool little fast attack vehicle that I end up liking a lot more than I thought I would. And I also picked up some Captain America stragglers. I got it's like called the Heroic Age Captain America, which I guess is Bucky in the Captain America uniform, kind of that shiny triangular modern uniform, a little gun holster and knife sheath on it, which I love. It's a great figure. For some reason, these Captain America figures are really, really appealing to me. I try to stay away from the Marvel Universe stuff a little bit because I used to be a comic fan, and these were the kind of toys I dreamed about constantly while I was collecting comics, and I just know if I start buying them, it's just going to be all over. So I'm trying not to get into it too much, but the Captain America figures I just haven't been able to resist. So I've got Red Skull and Crossbones, and I've got the movie Cap, and now I've got this Bucky Cap, and I've got a couple others that I'm kind of drooling over too. So that's pretty much it. It's been actually, you know, for a slow period, it's been, you know, I've been buying a lot of stuff the past couple of weeks. It's cool.
Chuck?
I have nothing that I can mention on this podcast.
Transformers.
Not for want of trying, mind you, but, you know, it is what it is.
You start up What's on Transformers' Mind, and you can talk about Transformers all you want.
Poor Chuck. You can always post it on your fan page.
I will say one thing I'm in the hunt for right now is Thundercats figures, because that cartoon was awesome. I saw that on last week. I was confused.
Cats.
You were confused.
Yeah, well, no, because is it supposed to be a restart from zero, or is it like a continuation 200 years in the future?
Hey, whatever you want.
The series ended.
Whatever you want. How do you want it, Chuck? What do you want?
It doesn't matter how I want it. I'm just curious, like, what was their intention? Because it's like they're on Third Earth, but, you know, that's, right, you know, where they, you know, that's the planet they went to after Thundera blew up.
I think making it purposefully vague, where they're saying that it could be a continuation if you want it to be, or, you know, if you want to think of it as a reboot, you can. I think it's almost the perfect way to handle it, I think.
I'm just very hesitant to go towards the figures, just because, I mean, Bandai is making them, right?
Yeah,
Is it Bandai or Mattel?
Bandai.
Yeah, well, no, it's interesting. The reason I said Mattel is using the same magnetic gimmick with that the Thundercats have. They're using it for the Voltron figures.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, Bandai USA is notorious for, you know, I'm not going to say that they cheap out, but they put in just enough that it's a passable figure.
Boring.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, the only thing I really have my eyes on is, like, the Sword of Omens, the deluxe Sword of Omens that can, like, telescope in and out, and maybe the Cat's Claw, as long as it can hold the Sword of Omens. But that's about it, you know.
Okay, you know, all I'm doing is picturing you in your living room right now, dancing around with that stupid Cat's Claw and swinging the Sword of Omens around.
Are you guys done talking about Thundercat?
No, man, no. Transformers can stay off the show.
And the classic figures. But the classic figures, you know, I know they had
I hated Thundercats as a kid. I'm not going to talk about it now.
At San Diego. And, you know, it's like he's articulated, but it's nothing that, you know, to write home about.
Okay.
The classic one?
The classic one, yeah.
The classic one is crazy articulated.
All right, enough of the cats.
All right.
Greg, you weren't taking control, Greg.
I mean,
step in for
mind
you?
What's on Lino's mind? Yeah, screw this place. I'm starting what's on Lino's mind.
Thundercats are on the move. Thundercats are loose. Feel the magic. You have to fear that roar.
Chuck.
You fear the roar, Gary.
I don't care about the roar. Once this become what's on Thunder Rose, whatever, yeah.
Thunder Rose?
Yeah, this can be about cats, but no.
I know a couple people in the community that would love for this show to be about cats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, what I got this week, actually, we all got something from Mr. David Tree from the UK. Of course, we mentioned the rollout roll call convention that they hold over there at his store, all the cool stuff that we've talked about before. As a thank you, he sent us some of their exclusives they had at Rollout Roll Call 2. Chuck, you'll be happy to know one is a Transformer, and another one is a White Shadow Lego figure. It's a Action Force White Shadow Lego figure, pretty cool, which is a limited edition exclusive of 50. and then also a Action Force equipment pack, or we would call them the accessory packs, that had some has some weapons, and looks like it has Ripcord's oxygen mask, nunchucks, some a sword, sniper rifle, machine guns in there. So they sent he sent us one of each of these, so I'll get these out in the mail to you. But again, I want to take time on the podcast to thank Dave for sending these back to us. And he mentioned in an email to us that we could announce when his next Roll Out Roll Call 3 will be, and that's March 3rd, 2012. So anybody in the UK listening, make plans to head on down to his store, All the Cool Stuff. You can look it up on Facebook. You can also find it at allthecoolstuff.co.uk, and it's in Fordingbridge, Hampshire, or Hampshire, as we would say here. So that's all you guys got one. I'll get those in the mail to you. This week, actually today, I got my Indiana Jones set, as well as I got my one of my Starscreams arrived this week. I got some more stuff that'll be coming next week. So
you're ruining this for the real fans, Gary.
You're not muting when you do that.
He's playing with his Sword of Omens.
That is NSF.
So
Thundercats, ho!
Ho!
So that's kind of what I got this week. I got my Sky Strikers last week when I went up to CoilCon. So I got two Sky Strikers there, my San Diego Comic-Con Sky Striker. So I am all set on Sky Strikers for the time being. So that's kind of what I've gotten in over the last couple weeks recently. Back to you, Greg.
All right, cool. That well, that wraps this up for this week, basically. Unless you guys have anything else you want to mention real quick?
You ought to be happy. This is a quick show.
I am ecstatic.
I'm already?
Just remember, if you guys want to get mentioned on the show, just send us stuff. You know, we'll mention your event. Right. Just send us stuff.
Chuck can be bought.
And next time, don't just send it to Gary. We'll be lucky if any of us see ours.
Now, I went to the post office today and got boxes for everybody. So
You
are like the dude in the jail cell in Trading Places when freaking Eddie Murphy's like, I'm a karate man. And the other guy's like, yeah.
Gary?
Yes.
How many Starscream Sky Strikers did you get, or are you getting?
I have 18. Actually, you want to know, I have two and a prototype.
Do you really need both, buddy? Old pal? Special friend?
Ooh, special friend.
Yeah, I don't want to be Chuck's special friend.
Chuck, we can talk. We'll see what we can do.
Oh, God.
No, man, don't be doing that.
I almost bit on one yesterday. It was loose. It turns out it was the display piece from San Diego Comic.
Get it!
The last Sky Striker sold. No, because the stickers are already applied, and it doesn't come with Cobra Commander or Megatron.
Still, I mean, was it an actual? They took it from the box, or was it a test shot?
The box came with it, you know.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, as the guy said, it's like, well, the stickers were applied by a Hasbro employee. God knows what kind of job they did.
Now everyone at Hasbro, I'm assuming, is highly qualified in putting on decals.
Oh, I don't know. You ever see any of those displays they set up? Holy crap.
Maybe. Boy, I'm trying to prop them up, and you two are just running them right over.
Hasbro Canada would probably do a good job, because, I mean, those guys are cool.
Actually, yeah. At Hasbro Canada, they had the sticker sheet out there, and the lady was asking, she's like, do any of you want to apply these stickers to the Sky Striker? Because we don't want to mess them up.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who volunteered?
Someone did it. Anybody. I don't know.
Someone?
Yeah, I think someone did it. I know I came by the table and I saw someone putting stickers on it. So
that poor sucker. They spent the whole week putting on Sky Striker stickers.
The same woman's waving around the Allen key saying, hey, somebody wants to take apart the display case. You can take it home. We don't want it.
Hey, you know, sometimes being around when they break apart their setups at the shows is a good time.
Oh yeah.
In Kansas City, they came over to my daughter Katie, and they gave her a Rock Slide snowmobile which was months and months and months before it even showed up in Canada at that point, and a couple figures, and she shows me the rock slide, and I'm looking at it, and it's a test shot. They had the Hasbro Far East markings on it and everything. Well, this one belongs to Daddy. So, yeah, sometimes when they're breaking down their setups, you can, if you're in the right place at the right time, you can get some good stuff from them.
Yeah, I got a badass, like, 6-foot-tall Roadblock rolled up Anniversary Carter poster that they were tearing down once they used for display. That was really cool.
Nice. All right, so that makes for a very short episode this week.
Keep going.
Well, let's keep going.
Let's talk about distribution.
Let's talk about Thundercats.
No.
Boring. On the moon. Thundercats are loose.
All right, never mind. We don't
feel the magic. Fear the roar. Thundercats are loose.
We'll say
thunder,
this
thunder, 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 thundercats.
Single 80s cartoon.
No kidding. Gem and Gem 1 week, Thundercats the next. It's crazy.
All right.
Chuck, Jason the Wheel Warriors, go.
I don't know that one. I'm sorry. But
Jason from Star Command.
Transformers, the animated movie. You know that part, the hard rock version? Was done by a band named Lion.
Yeah.
The guitarist in that band was named Doug Aldrich. Doug Aldrich went on to play with Ronnie James Dio, and he's the current guitarist in Whitesnake right now. So, I mean, there is some pedigree right there.
Nice. Congratulations to him.
The degrees of separation a la Kevin Bacon. Yeah, okay. He's cool now. Don't care.
Because Whitesnake is totally relevant these days.
Don't care. Okay, so that wraps it up for this episode. If you want to learn more about Whitesnake or getting more Greg or just listening to more Chuck, you can email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com.
I got a new knife.
Oh, boy.
If you want to find out about Chuck's new knife, you can text us at 262-515-WOJM. Again, the number is 262-515-9656.
Does it retract and fit into your cat's claw?
Okay. What are you laughing at? You? I purposely sat out this episode so you would have more airtime.
You. Thanks for doing us a favor, Chuck.
More Greg. Yeah, now you're gonna laugh.
Well, if you want to listen to more Greg, you can also make comments at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. You can listen to us at iTunes or at Stitcher. Stitcher's smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store at Stitcher.com. Stitcher smart radio and What's On Joe Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. You can find a listing of our social networking profiles on our active forum threads at our Podbean page, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Links include Joe Declassified, Fighting 118th, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
That's a low blow, Gary.
Anyways, regardless, we look forward to hearing from all of you. Next week, we'll have Ace Allgood from the Trenches to give us a lesson on the 12-inch side of the hobby, so we get to learn something new next week. Know thy roots, folks. Know thy roots. So don't miss it.
Getting out of his nursing home to come talk to us?
Now, be nice, Justin.
I'm just kidding.
Be nice, Justin. So don't
miss
it.
There's plenty of 12-inch fans that are under 60 years old.
Justin. They're never going to come on the program again.
I know. I joke because I care.
That's right. We do kid because we care.
Hey, Justin, I wouldn't really be talking about age, seeing as how you're like, what, the oldest guy on the show?
Might be me.
I'm going to take you out to the woodshed.
Well, you want to dance? We can dance.
All right. Anyone else have anything else before we get out of here?
Chuck, you got to be pushing 40.
No, I'm 32, dude.
Dude.
Didn't age well.
Well, that does it for this week. For our showrunner Greg, co-host Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary saying good night and see you next week on What's On Joe Mind.
See you.
Bye.
I found out long ago.